it is the Eagles that I will watch in the fall, or maybe it's, you know, the Philadelphia Phillies, which I really enjoy. There's a part of me that actually is, you know, is actually a little bit of a New Englander, and I love to watch the Red Sox once in a while. I know I'm getting some bad looks and all that. But then, of course, there should be nobody who's surprised by the fact that I like the University of Connecticut, right? That should not be a surprise to any of you. I have one favorite memory that I want to share with you. It was when I was a sophomore in college. And when I was a sophomore in college, I took a road trip with five other guys. We traveled 21 hours out and drove out 2,466 miles round trip. As we drove out to the middle of the country and we slept in a seedy motel and we got up the next morning and we painted our faces blue and white and we got nosebleed seats to watch UConn get destroyed by Kansas. That was like the worst game I'd ever seen, and we traveled all that way to get out there and back. But, you know, I know that there are fans in the world who are more dedicated than I am. I mean, you know these crazy fans, people who like sports, people who enjoy watching their teams. But in case you didn't know, I get excited watching my favorite teams. My daughter is shaking her head or nodding her head. Yes, I get excited. Now, how about you? What are you passionate about? What gets you excited? Is there a team? Is there an event? Is there a person that you want to go see in life? They just get you excited. Maybe it's a concert. Right? I remember growing up, I remember watching the videos. I wasn't alive to see this live, but I remember watching the videos of the young teen girls who would scream and then pass out when the Beatles took the stage. Like, it just, I could never understand that, but I was like, but I get it. There's a lot of energy and excited people out there. How about Taylor Swift? Any Taylor Swift? Any Swifties out there? Yeah, I got a couple. I see them. There's a couple of Swifties. What would you do, Swiftie fans, if Taylor Swift walked through the doors of this church right now? Like, what would that be like for you? The point is, there's lots of reasons. There's lots of reasons for us to get excited when we see something or we do something that gets our blood pumping. We get excited. But you know what strikes me as odd? We're all here today, in this place, and we're all here for a specific reason. We're all here for a specific reason. We're here to worship the creator of the universe. Think about that. The creator of the universe. The one who literally spoke life into existence. He spoke life into existence. By his power, he keeps everything together. When we mess up, when we make a mistake, maybe it's just me who does that, but when we make a mistake in life, it's God who forgives us and gives us a second chance, or a third chance, or a fourth chance. And then he completely makes us new when we ask him for forgiveness. Though you and I don't deserve it, we have this incredible gift that God has given us. It's a sacrifice that he has given. God has sacrificed himself to show us his love so that we can go and love others. And yet we cheer and we celebrate and we go crazy for all these other things. We jump around and we get excited. We paint our face and we travel miles. We change our appearance and we go to these off-landed places to celebrate these things in our life. When a singer steps out on stage, we go crazy. When the ball goes through the hoop, we jump and we celebrate. And none of that energy do we bring to our worship on Sunday morning. Many jokes have been shared about Presbyterians in my lifetime. And one of my favorite is the fact that Presbyterians are synonymous with the term frozen chosen. Like, we are synonymous with that, right? But anytime you have a joke, there's always a little truth to that too, right? We do not have the reputation of being very demonstrative in our worship. That's reserved for maybe other denominations, but not us. Even though it's completely appropriate for us to dance and sing and raise our hands and clap, for us to bow down and pray and kneel before God in worship. It's appropriate for us to move in worship. Typically, we relegate our worship to just standing still, singing our songs. We might sway a little bit if we get excited, right? Maybe there's a snap once in a while, right? But think about it, we're doing all of this before the God of the universe. It astounds me how excited I get sometimes during March Madness, watching UConn men and women's basketball, and how little I bring to God in worship. It's one of the reasons I enjoyed this music series so much. It kind of frees us up. It challenges us a little bit. It challenges me, and hopefully challenges you to do better in the worship that we bring to Jesus. Now, today's song is a song from a band named Elevation Worship. And in 2007, Elevation Worship, the band was formed out of the worship team for Elevation Church in North Carolina. So the band is actually the worship team. It'd be like taking these guys and turning them into a band. And this band has received countless awards, numerous accolades, and over 8 million downloads. Think about that. 8 million downloads of their music have been done through streaming. 8 million downloads. They have an upbeat style, and every song they write, it has a singular goal. It has a singular purpose. It's to see people who are far away from God become raised to new life in Christ. Every song they sing, people who are far away from God come and become raised to new life in Jesus. What a great goal. What a great goal for them. So here's what we're going to do today. As you are able, please feel free to stand during the song. As you are able, please feel free to move out of the pews if you want. I know that's kind of scary. It's kind of scary. But let's break free from the chains of our tradition and try something new. You could even consider this the dance floor of the church this morning, right in front here. This could be a dance floor. It's okay. You could come up and you can spend some time with me and maybe some others dancing up in the front, right? Because here's the thing. The goal is for us to get up and to move our bodies and to celebrate Jesus. Right? Think about it. We celebrate these team sports, but how do we worship the God of the universe? And so here now, would you stand with me? Feel free to move, is Elevation Worship.
Let's clap like this. Put it down. Always.
been a long time since I've done Vacation Bible School dancing. So here's the point. The Psalms, which are wonderful for us, are just elevating the worship of God. Everywhere, from the east to the west, praise the name of the Lord. That is the focus and the heart of that song. It's the focus and the heart of all worship. Everywhere, from the east to the west, praise the name of the Lord. The NIV says it this way, from the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be praised. This is the heart behind these lyrics. It's the heart behind all worship. Alle, alle, alleluia. You get all the praise, Jesus, we say. I've got a God that is for me. He's known for making a way. He fought the battle so I wouldn't have to. All glory belongs to his name. I wear Yukon colors. I will paint my face on occasion. I will jump up and down at basketball games. I will celebrate when they win, and I will cry when they lose. But what energy can I bring to my worship? When I think about it, the God of the universe, he sees me, he sees you. He sees us in our brokenness. At our absolute worst, he sees us in our brokenness. He sees our faults. He sees our failures. And still he loves me. Still he loves you. He went to death so that we wouldn't have to. Yes, there are daily battles. There are daily battles that you and I need to fight in the reality of sin in the world, and we have to battle with those things. But the thing is, he's won the war. And so all glory belongs to his name. He's called us. He's put us on his team. He says, I want you with me. I've done the hard work. Just can you do the work of walking with me? The refrain of this song is, I'm singing in the morning. I'm singing at night. I'm singing in the battle. That's how I fight. The last time you were in a battle, whatever it was, maybe the battle was an argument. Maybe it was a tough situation. Maybe it was a really bad relationship. Maybe it was a health scare. Whatever it was, the last time you were in a battle, did singing come to mind as a way to answer that battle? As a way to fight that battle? Did singing come to mind? Not for me. Maybe not for you. But maybe we should reconsider this. In the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 20, there's this really great story about a Jewish king named King Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat had three enemy armies who would all come together to fight him. So he was fighting on three different fronts, so they just amassed this huge army, and so it's him against all three of them. And they banded together to invade Judah, and King Jehoshaphat received a powerful promise from a prophet. There was a prophet named Jehaziel. And Jehaziel came to him, and he said, do not be afraid, because the battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. The battle that you're fighting isn't yours, it belongs to God. So don't be afraid in this moment. Now, ultimately, when a king is outnumbered, if you and I were outnumbered, what would we do? We would put our strongest force out front to try and give us the most amount of time, maybe to escape, or maybe there's a shot that our force will be able to do harm to the other enemy that we have out in front, and we'd be able to win the day. But regardless, we would likely put our strongest group out front. That's not what Jehoshaphat did. Instead, he appointed a choir to lead the army into battle. He put a choir out in front, and they sang their way into the battle. And he literally fought the battle with singing. And according to 2 Chronicles, the exact moment when they started to sing, the Lord caused the enemy forces to become confused and ambush one another. And consequently, by the time Jehoshaphat's army arrived on the battlefield, the invading forces had completely destroyed each other. Jehoshaphat's team came ready to fight, and there was no one to fight because God had done the work. I'm singing in the morning. I'm singing at night. I'm singing the battle. That's how I fight. Maybe all of us should start singing songs of praise to God when the challenges come our way. I wonder that, what that would do for my heart. I wonder what that would do for your heart if when I found a battle, I went to praise. When something came against me in life, I went to praise first. What would that do to my heart? What would that do to my attitude when the hard moments of life come against you? Praise is a weapon. It's a weapon that God gives us against the enemies that come our way. Hallelujah, this song that we just sang together and danced around with, it was written as an anthem. It's a song that reminds us that praise is a choice in every season. It's not just the easy seasons where everything's great and we sing hallelujah. Praise is a weapon and it is a choice that we use. Literally, hallelujah means praise the Lord. That's what we were just singing. Alle, alle, alleluia, praise the Lord. When we sing it, our hearts literally point to God. When we sing hallelujah, we're singing praise the Lord. Our hearts are literally pointing to God. And in that moment, we are claiming, God, thank you that you don't change. Thank you that you are constant. Thank you that no matter what the circumstances I'm dealing with down here, you are unchanging and I am going to praise the Lord. According to the band members who wrote this song, it was composed to give those of us who sing or hear it a powerful way to lift up our voices with the intent of praising the Lord. That's why they wanted us to sing it. That's why they wrote it. For anyone who hears it, to just praise the Lord. So I don't know what you're going to face in the coming days. As I often say, I know we're going to face something, but I don't know what you're going to face. But in the days and the weeks to come, here's my challenge to you on this first Sunday of our music message series. Find a worship song. Maybe it's this one. Maybe this one is the one that you want to, you know, hold on to. But if it's not this one, find another one, something that really gets your juices flowing, something that gets you excited. Find another song, something that moves you to praise Jesus. And here's what I want you to do. Keep it on speed dial. Wherever you can quickly find it, keep it close at hand. Keep the song close. And then when you experience a tough day, whatever it is, whenever you face this tough day, push play. Push play on that song. Lift up your voice and begin to sing, Alle, Alle, Alleluia. You get all the praise, Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. God, I thank you that you are the God of the universe, that there is nothing in this world that comes near us that you don't see. There is nothing that you don't walk with us through. Yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with us. So God, help us to hold on to that reality. Help us to hold on to that truth. And that as we are experiencing tough things, Lord, may worship become part of our response. May worship and praise become something that we naturally move to. And may we see you at work, even in the hard things. Yes, we want to celebrate you and lift up your name for the fun and for the praise and the celebration. But Lord, in the hard things even, may we sing, Alle, Alle, Alleluia. You get all the praise. Thank you, God. We pray this all today in Jesus' name. Amen.